Gotta protect those plants.
Larry, I have 7 o'clock. Do you have 7 o'clock also?
Yes.
Okay, folks, I'd like to call the meeting in order. Whatever, please rise for Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic, which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. I'd like to welcome everyone to the October 26, 2020 Chester Heights Borough Work Session. First up on the agenda is roll call. Tonight we have present Borough Solicitor Jerry Montella, Borough Engineer Matt Hootman, Councilpersons Laura Lim, Dave Ferksker, Susan Clark, myself, Gina Ellis. Also present Mayor Fred Wood. Not present tonight are Councilpersons Natalie Anderson and Bob Adams. Moving forward on the agenda, we have the opportunity for public to address council. We ask that you state your name and address for the record.
Marta, do you have anything?
Yes, just real quick. Gina, you mentioned earlier that you placed a sign saying to vote at the middle school. I was just wondering if the borough will be placing the vote here signs to direct people to the middle school, or do you want me to pick up the signs and place them on the day of?
We have about a dozen signs, three that say vote at middle school and the rest are vote with arrows. Okay. And I'm planning on putting them out on Sunday.
Okay, great. All right, just wanted to see. All right, that sounds good. Thank you, that's all I needed.
Sam Iannucci, anything? Okay. All I have is the Samsung SMG900. Do you have anything to say?
Hi, how are you tonight? My name's Trish Williams-Godwin.
Trish, state your address.
Sure, 116 Logtown Road, Media PA 19063.
And what question do you have for Borough Council?
Well, it's more of a comment and then a question. It's regarding the proposed car wash. With the Wave car wash, I think the address was 104 to 106 Baltimore Pike. During the last zoning meeting, they were granted an extra time limit for new information that they received. During that time, neighbors and myself, we have gotten together and we have started a petition to oppose the car wash. And my question is, do I send it directly to you and then also to the zoning? Or how should I do that?
Mr. President, Jerry Montell, I can answer that. Ma'am, you would send that petition to the Zoning Hearing Board. You okay. could appear at the next meeting and enter it into the record.
Perfect.
And then the Zoning Hearing Board would take give it whatever weight that they deem necessary and make it part of the record.
Okay, Ann Buhar?
Yes.
Do you have anything for Borough Council in public comment?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't know why my picture's not there and just my name, but at any rate, we won't worry about that.
Okay. Drew, I think that's all we have for public.
Okay, Larry, thank you. Okay, moving ahead on the agenda, items number 4 and 5 will be presented by Solicitor Montella. Jerry, could I pass that to you, please?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. President. With regard to the snow removal bids, it's my understanding today was the last day for the bids to be received. I do not have it in front of me, but I understand from an email sent by Ms. Timmons that there was one bid. And Susan, do you have that bid in front of you by any chance, or do you have it, Matt?
Matt Hoopman does not have the bid, no.
So I'm assuming then maybe it either Susan or Darlene may have it.
Sue, you're muted.
Is Sue on the...
She's talking, but she's muted.
No, I don't have it at home with me, but it would take me about 5 minutes to go up to the borough office and get it and open it. So I can do that. How's that sound, Matt? Jerry? Hello?
Sue, I could go and it could be a race.
No, I'll go up right now and then I'll join up there and open the bid and tell Matt and Jerry.
Do we have to have that right now or can we have that for next week's meeting?
That was my question. If there's only one bid, is there a big rush? Jerry or Matt?
Jerry's gone.
Jerry, no.
Well, you always like more than one bid. The borough council could just delay the opening, I think, and then try to drum up, you know, make some calls and get other bids in. Or I guess they could also just open it and they could choose to accept it or I guess re-advertise if they want more bids. I don't know. If we know what we paid the last couple of years, I guess we could probably compare the one and only bid that we've received this year against those. And if it seems like it's about the same, then Borough Council might just decide to accept the only bid.
So should I go up to the borough and open it?
Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
You could probably just wait till next to the public meeting, right? Yeah. Just next week? Is it next week?
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea. Good idea to re-advertise and try and get another bid at least.
Jerry's back on.
Yeah, I'm back. I apologize. I'm having some connection problems apparently tonight. Times once a week for 3 weeks, and apparently we only received one bid.
And Jerry, I guess without rebidding, we can't try to solicit other bids to come in?
I would think we'd have to rebid it. I mean, it's, you know, the contract could be well in excess of what the limits are.
Yeah. Would you suggest either tonight or next week we open that bid, and if it looks like it's in line with the previous numbers that we've gotten for the last few years, that the borough council could act on it if it seems to be exorbitantly high, that we could go through the rebidding process?
Yeah, that would be my suggestion also, Matt. I mean, if it's opened and it seems to be reasonable within what it was last year, certainly council can take consideration of that. Otherwise, we could just go ahead and re-advertise and do this sometime in December.
Hey, Matt, can you make sure you come with some kind of history on what the bids have been in prior years so we can look at that pretty quickly on
Yeah, sure, I'll coordinate with Jerry on that. Some years I've received them, some years Jerry has. Jerry and I will get together and make sure we have the last few years.
Yeah, I have that information. We can do that, Matt.
Okay. Perfect.
Thank you.
Was that it for snow removal bids?
I think it is, Jerry, unless Matt has anything else to add.
No, I guess the decision is to open them at next week's meeting, and then we'll have the data from the last few years.
That's fine. Advertising it anymore? Should I never shared the advertising on Facebook. I just went with the normal channels that Jerry used.
Well, these bids are supposed to be open November 2nd, I believe. So I think we ought to enter next week's meeting. And if this is the only bid we have, then open it, see if it's in line, like Matt suggested. If not, we can go from there.
Okay.
The second issue is the stray dog contract update. I did reach out to Alan Strickler. I'm putting together a brief contract for his review, and I'm following up. I will be following up with D&D Kennel as well as the cat vendor. So as soon as I get, I did speak with Mr. Strickler on Friday of last week. We did discuss some terms of the contract, and I'll be putting that together for his review, hopefully by the end of this week.
Jerry, question for you. Will we be having a contract with Alan Strickler and a separate contract with D&D Kennels? Is that how this is going to be structured?
We only have one. It's my understanding we'll have one contract with Mr. Strickler. Okay. And then whatever he does with the certainly the stray dog, I believe he will be then using a D&D Kennel. And then D&D Kennel will invoice the borough for whatever service they have. They'll invoice the borough separately, but there will not be a contract between the borough and the borough. And then with regard to the vendor for the stray cat, perhaps we can, because there's so minimal number of cats, there perhaps will be a memo of understanding. That would be my suggestion.
Okay, very good. Okay, any
That's
further?
All I have.
Okay, any further questions for Jerry on the stray dog contract? Okay, with that being said, up next on the agenda is Old Quarry Knoll. Matt, I believe you were going to handle this tonight.
Yes. As you recall, the part of the Old Quarry Knoll was to install the walking trail around the athletic field, and the developer's agreement was written such that that trail was supposed to be installed within 9 months of the developer obtaining a land disturbance permit. And I believe that 9 months is either up or soon to be up. So there's been some discussion with Pete Rahana that maybe the development agreement should be amended to allow for more time. The developer did initiate the process to install the trail a couple months ago, maybe even a little bit longer than that now. And the borough actually stopped him because the borough, the trail was, the approved plans had the trail just encompassing the athletic field, and the borough thought it'd be a better idea to have it extend into the entire depth and width of the property. And since that time, we've staked it out and people have agreed with the general location. So it's the developer's not really held up the walking trail over the last few months. It's been the borough. So the question is, do we need to amend the developer's agreement to allow him more time to complete the trail at the borough's direction? As a side note, we're meeting with the developer's representative, myself, Laura, and I don't know if anybody else is going to walk the trail as staked and, proceed with instructing them how to move forward. I wasn't terribly worried about the 9 months in the developer's agreement. We still have plenty of leverage on the developer. He still has lots of building permits to pull and COs to gain, but if council thinks it'd be a little better to have the wording in the developer's agreement agree with the timing, that Pete said he could just issue a one paragraph amendment to the developer's agreement and he sent it off to the developer for signature, giving them a little more time for the installation.
Matt, can I assume that at that meeting you will find out if the developer will maybe absorb some additional cost from the new layout of the walking trail or whatever that's comes for that meeting?
Yeah, that's the intent. That's what we're going to try to do, yes.
Okay. So should we take any information that you gained from that meeting, and if Pete feels we should revise that developer's agreement, add that information such as the developer agrees to maybe pay X amount percentage of the additional cost for the additional layout of the walking trail or something along those lines?
Actually, that's a good idea, Drew. Yeah, that could be incorporated. So maybe again, the play here is to let's have our walkthrough on Wednesday and then give a further report next week and go from there.
Okay. And Matt, getting back to the additional area, the walking trail, I believe you had said that a lot of those areas that kind of meander through the wooded areas would be made of wood chips maybe, as opposed to the cinder construction.
Cinder. Yeah, I believe there's a few, there's one stream crossing which will take a footbridge, and then there's another place I think where we're probably crossing some wetlands, not necessarily a stream, just very damp soils. And to stay out of required permitting, you're allowed to put wood chips down, but I think anything cinders or paving would require a permit. So in those areas, it might be best, and they're limited, but it'd be best to put wood chips down.
Okay. So obviously, it's easier to install a wood chip walking trail than a cinder walking trail. So possibly they might be able to, the money they're saving maybe, we might be able to get them to pay for some of the expanded areas.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. I think the cinder path is a good idea in the very active area. I think the least they can do is clear the path, the additional length. They can certainly clear it, and we see how far we can push to get them to expand the cinders too.
When I think of the Newland Gristmill and the wood chip paths they have, we're going to need to budget for more maintenance because very strong rains and things are going to wash them out.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's why we originally went with the cinders. So we'll see what we can do.
Okay. All right, Matt, thank you. Any further questions for Matt in regards to Old Quarry Knoll? And Matt, are they starting, the reason they're asking to get this taken care of is because they're starting construction there? Is that the case?
Yes. Yeah. I think when they looked for a building permit, some staff indicated that they needed to, one, get current with their invoices, which I contacted Steve and told him he needs to do that. And two would be the walking path issue. But I don't think it would be appropriate to hold a building permit for the path at this point in time anyway, since, again, they're waiting on the borough's decision. So if they pay their invoices, I would suggest that they'd be allowed to, that Rich would go ahead and issue a building permit if everything is in order with it.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. Okay. Moving forward on the agenda, we have item number 7, 2021 draft proposed budgets. I'd like to pass this off to the finance chair, Mayor Wood.
Thank you, Mr. President. And thank you everybody for submitting your information. I have everybody's information in the budget except for Sue's, and Sue and I talked this afternoon and there was some mix-up with between me and Susan, so we're gonna, and Susan's got some new additions, I believe, so we're gonna have them shortly. So I just want to kind of give you, I think you all received copies of all the budgets for 2021. Total income is $909,787.54 at the current time. Total expenses are $907,259.90 with unallocated funds of $2,527.64.
I think the last one that Sue sent out, the income is 911, the expense is 907.
Income's 911?
Yes.
The last one Sue sent out. No, the last one Sue.
Fred, I'm sorry if there's any confusion. There was the one change where I reduced the interest for the Malvern CD. And It's a minor change. I'll correct it in the morning which one I should have sent out.
Well, it's within a few $1,000.
Okay. All right, moving forward. Did everybody get Sue put together a 2021 budget versus 2020 budget? Did everyone get a copy of that?
which one was that? Because the last one she sent had no comparison point. I was
okay. I sent that out last night, and I sent it to Laura and Fred. I will send it out to everybody right now.
Sue, why don't you hold off on that till we finish, and then we make all the adjustments that we have at that point with the current 2021 budget. Is that all right with everybody?
Yes. Yeah. Sure. I mean, it's hard to interpret what the budget is without a comparison point. That's all.
Yeah. No. I was trying to. That was my point. Susan was to try to get that out to everybody. In addition. We have the fire protection budget of that's got to be this for 2021. It is currently at 108,000 in income and 108,000. Actually, it's 108,200 of income and 108,100 of expenses. So it's about $100 surplus, and which is where we've been pretty much every year. Second budget, or third budget, is the liquid fuels. And we were budgeting for 106,000 of income with 100,000. Of expenses, and again, $6,400 surplus. We printed out the budget for 2021 for open space, but it's just holding $12,245.64 to be exact, of funds that are carryover from the previous year. Or this year. Some highlights on the budget. We are moving in the direction, Sam, I've had some conversations with Sam and Dave Frisker about moving the funding that the borough has been doing to the fire company. Last year, we had budgeted $30,000 of funding to the fire company. We're going to reduce that by 10 without making any allowance for changes in taxes. What we want to try to get to is so that all of the money that is used by the fire company is raised by taxes. So that it's pretty clean. The only funding that we would ever give to the fire company would be for special situations, such as the current request for some funding for water rescue equipment. And I wanted to bring that up. The other thing that's in this budget is some consideration for the people who work full-time for the borough, for them to have some kind of opportunity to have an IRA or some sort of a savings plan so that they could retirement. Sue, am I missing anything on the highlights?
Well, the IRA matching is $3,000 for Darlene and I. And the other thing we were going to talk about was Laura with the park improvements.
Oh, that's, yeah. Laura, that's a big significant increase. We're taking the current surplus of carryover surplus of $345,000. We're basically investing $280,000 of it, $115,000 into mostly the community park, but some of it will go to freshen up DeSalvo Park, and some of it will go towards identifying what we can do with the Darling Creek Park, which we just closed on this year. So we will be talking with Matt and probably trying to come up with some kind of a trail around the park so that we could focus on building in the future. We also put in a little bit of maintenance for that park in case when we walk around through the property over there and find people that have been dumping. So we want to allow for the opportunity to clean up any kind of debris that's in there that shouldn't be there. And that's basically any other questions from anybody at this point?
Is that the I see it's identified as playground equipment, excavation. I guess did we get a number from somebody like Concord Township on approximately what that would cost?
Yes, I've been working with the general contractors for cost estimates.
Okay.
We've met with a couple contractors already. I think you'll be pleased with, and the community will be pleased with the new community park. It'll certainly be newer equipment, but we're making some allowances for younger kids and for kids with disabilities.
Correct.
Are we going to make the park non-smoking? Just curious, because, or did we do that? That there was somebody that kept asking us about young lungs at play.
Is that from the Department of Health, Susan?
I can't remember who said it to us.
It sounds like something that's probably coming from the Pennsylvania Department of Health, and I'm sure that would be something that they could provide signage for, or we could work with them on. I'd be surprised if it's not already smoke-free, but.
I remember it coming up several times. I don't know if it was ever acted upon.
Yeah, that seems like a no-brainer. That's something we can easily tackle while we're doing this.
Good.
So Fred, one other thing I just wanted to highlight too was item 438.31. That's actually kudos to Matt Hoopman. One of the things that he slipped into the last meeting that we all talked about, perked my ears up, is Matt actually got our MS4 proposal, I guess is the right way you say it, our MS4 plan approved. Is that correct, Matt? And then so now we're moving on to actually putting equipment to ground. And so for there, that's $35,000 towards Basin 1 efforts for MS4 for reducing the sediment in the borough. So that's a really big deal for the environment and for us. So kudos to Matt for moving on that. So we appreciate that in advance.
Yeah, didn't we identify two projects right away that we wanted to focus on?
One for 2021, and then once that gets settled, initiate 2022 for the second basin, how it progresses.
Okay. Thank you, Laura.
No worries. And then, Gina, the other thing that we highlighted, Sue had mentioned talking about signs for the Historical Society for the 75th anniversary. So if you look there under 459.10, we did some back of the envelope math for $250 per sign. That's just wiggle room. It's just a good wag. But we put that in there for you for when in your planning. I think that's the highlights, Fred. I think you got most of the highlights on the budget.
Yeah, I did. I have one thing I want to bring up probably under new business, if I could, about freshening up the borough sign in DeSalvo Park. We had asked somebody to bid on it, and they're actually gave us a bid, which is very favorable, and we thought we should move on it before the end of the year because we have money left over in the entertainment group, and this would put some nice spruce trees next to the sign that we might be able to light up, at least to give some Christmas spirit where we can't do a Christmas with Santa this year. So I'll talk about it in new business if you want, unless you want to do it here.
You can jump in right now, Fred, since you're warmed up if you want to.
I'm warmed up. So we got, we had put some money in the budget for 2021 to design a landscape around the sign. And we'd put a couple thousand dollars in for that. And the lady who did the design, who I asked to do the design, does some work in the neighborhood. She lives down on Ivy Mills Road, but she's in Concord Township. And so it's a local business. It's a woman-owned business. And she came back to us, or came back to me on Sunday with a $1,400 proposal to put this some permanent plantings around the sign, which would include two dwarf spruce trees that we would be able to utilize for Christmas, and then some other permanent plantings as well as some seasonal plantings. We also put in the budget for next year a maintenance program so that asset that we're putting in can be maintained. The only thing we haven't done and will need to do is to run water and electric out to the sign, which is also in the budget for next year. And that's, I think what we would like to do is just get council's approval to go ahead and do the plantings for the permanent planting so that we can get the take advantage of the spruce trees for the season, holiday season.
Fred, is there a mock-up that she had provided that we could possibly
I have that.
Okay, is that something
I sent it to Sue, but we can get it sent around.
Okay, sure.
Can we send it around to everybody and vote on it during the regular council meeting?
That's kind of what I was hoping. I might, if you're amenable to it, I could tell her to go ahead and order the materials because there's kind of a timing issue. And I know it'll take a little bit of time to get them. We're going to approve it at Monday's meeting. I'd like to be able to tell her to go ahead and order, but not install until after it's approved.
Sure, I'm fine with that.
Do I have anybody that has any concerns? All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll go ahead and do that tomorrow.
Thanks, Fred.
Okay, thank you, Fred. Anything else, Sue, or Fred or Laura from the proposed budgets?
The only thing that I think that we wanted to talk about is just please remember that this is a rough draft. And Sue, Fred, and I, we've been working on it and pinging the numbers back and forth and working with everybody one-on-one. So it's just a rough draft. And in the next couple of weeks, we're going to fine tune it. And then eventually we have to call it. So look at your areas and make sure that the numbers that you've offered up are there. But we think we've captured them all, but we're still tweaking it. So it is a rough draft as of tonight.
No, my apologies to Susan Clark. We did miss her items. And so those will be added by the next meeting.
Yeah, and I just, before I finalize it, everything would like to see it, I think, compared to 2020 year to date and the 2020 budget, just to have a couple points to see, you know, whether it's sound or not.
Okay. So can you see that Susan gets that information?
Yes.
Thank you, Sue.
Uh-huh.
Okay, moving forward on the agenda, we have item number 8, old business. Do we have any old business?
I have a question for Jerry about and I wish Craig Chestnut were here, about the assessments. We were talking about this. I was in one of the budget meetings, and knowing that there's so many appeals, and I think Greg mentioned that the school district is appealing a lot of the assessments because case in point, the Summit went from 17 million to 349,000. Would it behoove us, or would it be something that would be of our concern to appeal something like that ourselves, or are we piggybacking on what the school district is doing? Because that's a significant change in our ability to collect taxes from the summit with that type of assessment. So Jerry, are we doing what the school district is doing? Are we waiting to see what happens, or should we consider filing an appeal?
I don't know all the details, but it's typically you wait until to see what the school district does. And then the school district is typically the moving party. The borough would be a intervener, but typically I think the borough would wait until see what the school district does. I guess there's no limit whether or not the borough would be the moving party, but it would be a situation where maybe I can reach out to the school district solicitor and find out what, if anything, their position is given the status of all the reassessments right now.
Okay, thank you for answering that question. Drew, are you okay with Jerry reaching out to the school district solicitor to get a status?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Drew, for old business, is this a good time to bring up the resolution? I don't see it on my agenda, so.
Sure, I can do that if you want me to.
Please, that would be wonderful.
Sure. So I've been asked to ask council for a motion to approve a resolution would be authorizing the application to the 2020 PICO Green Region Open Space Program for the Chester Heights Community Park Walking Trail Project. And the resolution states, whereas the Council for the Borough of Chester Heights desires to undertake the Chester Heights Community Park Walking Trail Project, Council for the Borough desires to apply to the 2020 PICO Green Region Open Space Program for a grant for the purpose of carrying out this project. And Council for the Borough has received and understands the 2020 PICO Green Region Open Space Program guidelines. And now, therefore, be it resolved, the Council for the Borough hereby approves this project and authorizes application to the 2020 PICO Green Region Open Space Program in the amount of $10,000. And be it further resolved, if the application is granted, the Borough commits to the expenditure of matching funds and the amount of $10,000 necessary for the project's success. So resolved this blank day of October 2020. So with that, I would ask council to adopt the resolution. I assume the resolution number would be 10-A-20.
And this is a resolution for an expenditure that we agreed upon
previously
as a council last week or last meeting.
That's correct.
And the resolution is just required as a part of the application for the green grant. That's the only reason we're doing it, because we've already approved it, just for background.
I will call for that motion. Do I have a motion to approve resolution number 10-A-20?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
Second.
The floor is open for discussion. With no discussion, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The motion is approved. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Laura.
Do we have any other old business? Okay, moving forward, next up, new business. Susan, can I pass this to you, please?
Yeah, we got an email from the USDA saying they could help us with the spotted lanternfly infestation. And I asked Drew and also Dave if I could follow up on it, because I'm kind of passionate about those bugs. But anyway, I spoke with the woman from the USDA a couple of times and we traded some emails. And basically, she said that our areas where Berks County was at 2 years ago when the spotted lanternfly reappeared, originally it appeared in 2014, but it appeared to die off in some cold winters, but resurged in 2018. She said the numbers in Berks County are dwindling because they're suffering from a fungus, and that is I don't believe that's here yet, because I have honestly seen enough of them. It appears like white markings on the bug. So, you know, I told her that Wawa was headquartered in our borough, and she said that Wawa had signed up for the USDA program. However, the USDA has priorities. They are airports, trucking centers, et cetera, wherever the spotted lanternfly could potentially leave the quarantine zone. And if you go to the Penn State Extension website, you'll see the quarantine zone in Pennsylvania. It's about the bottom two-thirds of the state, or wait, like one-third to one-half of the state. Their second area of priority is agriculture, and especially vineyards, because apparently they really like grape trees, and they've done a lot of damage to vineyards. And then the third priority level is everything else. So Fred, I mean, basically she told me that really the chances of them getting to Wawa are going to be pretty slim, because they have to prioritize. They have limited resources. So just so you know that. So there are certain chemicals, and she started talking about the different chemicals, and I didn't really get into that a lot, but you do need a licensed individual to apply these chemicals. And she did say they had an excess supply of one chemical, that the USDA would actually supply the chemicals if we got a licensed individual to apply them. So at the end of the day, we said, what can we do? And I mean, the clear thing is we need to communicate. And she said that the Penn State Extension website is the source that the USDA refers people to for information about the spotted lanternfly. Dave and I need to talk a little bit more. Definitely we need to get something in the newsletter every time. And she also mentioned that if we have community events, the USDA would be glad to set up a table, provide handouts, show people where to find egg masses and how to remove them, and just generally answer questions. And I know community events aren't really very prominent right now, but it's an option for the future. One thing that we did agree on is that she said the USDA is less busy in the winter because their busy time is spring, summer, and fall. And I said, why don't we drive the borough and just do a visual look at properties? And if we see any, the tree that they especially center on is called the Tree of Heaven. And she said, if we see any trees of heaven, we could send a letter to the residents and inform them, and they can decide if they want to have it treated. As far as treating, we could decide to treat borough property, but just so you know, there's a very narrow window of time to do treatments, because they're always concerned about treating for spotted lanternflies and killing other beneficial insects or birds. And the other thing is the timing depends on the treatment. So there's a limited window of opportunity for them to apply treatments for the spotted lanternfly. So she did send me an email in the past week saying that her supervisor thought the idea of driving through the borough and looking for trees of heaven was a good idea, and they would be available. They would have some time soon to go ahead and do that. That's what I have.
Susan, if I understand what you're saying, if we do see one of these trees of heaven and we report it to the agency, will they come out immediately and treat that?
No, they report it to the homeowner, and the homeowner has to get a licensed individual to treat their property. But at least we could, I've looked at images of the tree of heaven. I don't think I could identify it, but they can. So I think the borough, I said the borough is small enough, we could probably drive around the whole borough in an hour or so, right? Like Darlington Woods, Village of Valley Brook, we can cover a lot of territory there, all the homeowners associations, and just see what we see.
It's more awareness at this point. I mean, the USDA is not going to be able to come in and treat the area, but it's an awareness type of play for the community. In terms of letting people know what to look for with the Tree of Heaven, once we learn how to identify that and educate people on how to do it, and then educate them on next steps to treat the lanternfly. And then obviously the third piece of education is just what the harmful results of the lanternfly population are in Chester Heights. from everything that I understand.
So if I may mention, because I've done some research on this myself, since I have dozens of Tree of Heavens, I mean, literally dozens. And I had an exterminator come out, and I also talked to an arborist. And basically, because I'm raising bees and I'm growing hay, it's not a good idea to spray or put anything chemical out, because that will affect it'll affect my pollinator insects. It'll affect the hay, quality of the hay, and what the horses are eating or whoever's eating the hay. So the bottom line was, the best way to deal with them is to cut down all the Tree of Heavens. That's kind of a daunting, expensive project for me. In addition to that, they're not just in the Tree of Heaven, they are in Native American trees such as the silver maple, and I've seen them lately in some pin oaks. So they're around. There are some beneficial plants. I just got a message from a naturalist who said that the, believe it or not, the milkweed has a poisonous sap in it, and when the lantern flies eat it, they die. So even though milkweed is highly it's not good for people with allergies, it apparently is one of the plants that is killing the lantern flies. We've also noticed that there's a lot, sometimes where we have had infestations of lantern flies, that there's certain, they're larger than yellow jackets, but they're smaller than the boldface hornets. But there seems to be some kind of a predator bug that's going after them as well.
Actually, what happens is a spotted lantern fly produces honeydew, and the wasps are actually eating the honeydew. They're not actually killing the spotted lantern fly.
Okay. But thank you. I've observed that going on. I didn't know it looked like they were all over some of the trees where the lantern flies were.
I've read that spiders and praying mantises kill them, but I can tell you this, I have this tree that I have an infestation, and I don't see it happening. So it's the fungus that, you know, we actually need. So, but I didn't know about milkweed. That was good information. And I did say, they're careful about applying, product in, so that they don't affect other insects and birds or other animals even.
Sure.
So, but yeah, their recommendation on the Tree of Heaven is cut it down. But if you have a lot of them, then that's probably not an option. Anyway, I just wanted to give everybody an update. I think our main course of action at this point is communicate, but next year, this isn't going to end next year. It's going to be a couple of years. So if we have a relationship with the USDA and they know our situation, maybe we can leverage it in a future year beyond just communicating.
Susan, could you send me your contact at the USDA, since you've already established a contact there? And I'll talk to them and see if there's something that someone like myself on such a large scale has some other options than the other homeowners.
Okay, I will. It was an email. I'll forward it to you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Susan, for the information. Fred, also, thank you. Moving forward on the agenda, we have item number 10, an additional period for public to address council. We ask that you state your name and address for the record.
Okay, Ann, do you have anything for council? Hold on. Unmute yourself.
Yeah, I do not.
Okay, thank you. Marta?
Hi, I just have Marta Driscoll, 458A Lanai Road. Just have a quick question. On the revenue side for the general fund budget, you reported $911,000. Does that include that $345,000 rollover from prior year? Or is that just for the year itself? Because that's approximately $350,000 more than we've budgeted in prior years.
That includes the rollover from prior year, the 345,000 from prior year.
But just so that I'm clear, we're increasing our expenses from 2020 to 2021 approximately $300,000.
I'm not sure what you're looking at, Marta.
No, it's just like, so last year's budget for the general fund.
If I may, typically, Fred, our expenses are $600,000, and revenue and expenses are about $600,000. So she's saying that our expenses are now $900,000, and so she's asking. She's
it. Yeah, they've been $600,000 for the last 4 years. So that's just a lot. That's such a huge difference. That's all. And then when you were talking about reducing the amount of money that you're paying to the fire company, you're not including the state tax that we get that comes through us to and then goes to the fire department, correct? That's not included in your reduction.
No, that's not included. Okay. What we've been giving the fire company over the years is. And last year's budget included a $30,000 donation to the fire company. And we're trying to make it a cleaner break between the fire company and the borough. And so we want eventually stop giving the fire company $30,000 and have that all flow through their fire tax, as we refer to it.
Okay. And has the borough received the new assessment yet? Or is that coming in November?
Comes in November, but I'm not hearing some good news for everybody. There's so many petitions filed against the tax, the assessment, that they're not sure they're going to be able to get final number until later in the year. I know we need to make a decision on what the tax rate's going to be. We're looking at basically a neutral tax rate. So that would probably mean that the current millage would decrease because of the increase in the value of the assets, borough's assets. Your taxes, we're not looking to increase, and the fire tax is looking to be not increased rather dramatically at all, if at all.
Have you looked at the new assessments yet for Chester Heights Borough in terms of where they're showing at right now?
We have looked at it, but we're told that there's an awful lot of from what I heard today, and I don't have any verification of it, but 100% of the folks who live in Garnet Valley School District have filed petitions about the tax increase. So there's that kind of filing going on. It's going to take a long time, in my mind, to resolve all that. And certainly it's going to be tough for them to get all that done between now and December 31st.
I understand. Thank you.
And that was coming from our tax collector.
What is? I'm sorry, Laura, what's coming from your tax collector?
That everybody is appealing the new assessed value of their homes. And so it's hard to come up with the millage right now. They're waiting for all the appeals to be rectified. And because there's so many of them, it's probably not going to come to fruition. So we have a good number until past December 31st.
Okay. Yeah, because right now I think the last published rates, I think total of Chester Heights was at $464 million compared to the original. I mean, last year it was $215 million, and then they had $245 as the base number. So if that gets changed, obviously it's going to have a huge impact on the millage number itself. So thank you for your time.
Marta, that's the number we've seen too. But we've been cautioned strongly not to pay too close attention to it at this point until all the appeals have been resolved, or the county comes up with a with the number.
Yeah, I mean, having looked at the numbers, there's a lot of discrepancy and variance issues, especially if you look at houses that are clustered together that are very differently assessed. I'm pretty sure people who are highest in those groupings will be requesting reassessments and trying to mitigate back down. So, thank you.
Okay.
Sam Iannucci, do you have anything for Burr? Okay. Gary, do you have anything for Borough Council comment?
I'd just like to mention that we are moving forward. We've completed the rough grading for our sewer and water installation, and we expect that to begin in approximately next week, no more than two. We had some fill that was offloaded to the upper part of our field, and that was separated from all the things that could not be hauled away. So we hauled away several loads of stone and metal and organics such as root limbs, things like that. And then we graded the remaining clean fill down to the upper level of our field. And we expect this sewer water installation to go until December, possibly January. And after that, we'll be working on finish grading. But if anyone would like to visit our camp meeting, you are more than welcome to do so. There is no gate. There are three orange cones at the bottom and three orange cones at the top. You can just move, drive through, take a look around. Right now, it looks pretty organized. When we start the sewer and water, it's going to get kind of, disturbed looking. And then when the finish grading comes in, it'll be the way it's supposed to look in the end. But we are very happy with the progress that we've made and continue to look forward to more progress. Thank you.
Tony, do you have anything for Burr? Comment?
No, nothing, thank you. But thanks for the information on the spotted lantern flies. That was great.
You're welcome.
Drew, that's all.
Okay, Larry, thank you. Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
I'll make the motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion is approved. Larry, thank you again. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You're not going to say goodnight, John Boy?
Night, John Boy. Good night.
All right.